Thank you, Heather and Timothy, for this beautiful song. Yes, I will walk with God. Shabbat shalom. I remember when I was 20 and I was going for the first time to the seminary. It was in Prague, in the Central Europe. And it was a totally different seminary as you have here. I was not allowed to study theology. I was not even allowed to study, period. What I was allowed to study was profession. But academic studies, this was forbidden for those who serve God, those who keep the Sabbath. I was automatically eliminated from reaching, you know, to the levels of really good education, only because I was Christian and I lived in the communist country. Well, but then came a little bit different times. After, you know, when Alexander Dubček in 1968 opened the Spring of Prague, and then the Russian tanks came and the Warsaw Pact came and crushed all the revolution. But still, few years after, there was more freedom, some kind of freedom. And in that year, you know, also the seminary was opened. And I was the privileged one who, after all these struggles, when I wanted to study and I studied only by myself and in the evenings and in the nights after work, I had the privilege to go to the seminary. Oh, it was beautiful. And I have still this nice feeling. I was there. Well, it was a very small school. How many of us was there? Maybe 14, 15. We had three teachers, very dedicated teachers. We have practically no library, only a few books printed, you know, I don't know how to call it even. And this material was great. Well, when I was able to be in that school only for 1 year. And the seminary after 1 year was closed by the command of the communist country, communist party. Therefore, what to do? Well, then the church sent me to the Protestant university. Then I studied there. Well, after communists fell down, I had the privilege to start the new seminary. But what kind of seminary? If I will compare it with here, we were 15 students. I had 15 students. I had one room in the dormitory. All 15 were in one room. We had one place, one classroom. We had one place, one small place for kitchen and for dining room. This was all. And we started like two full-time teachers. And then were those who were coming external. But it was, there were wonderful times. Wonderful times. I am, you know, very gladly remember these pressures of time and persecution, some kind of persecution, because we valued what we had. You have different situations. I envy you. You are coming to the very established, very well-established institution, seminary. You have more than 400 fellow students here. You have very esteemed faculty with more than 40 dedicated professors. And I am proud to be the dean of this faculty. They are all experts, all eager to help you. They all love the Lord. They all love you. And they want to help you. They are here for you. You have the great library with more than 1 million books. There's a dream. You have all possibilities. You have all the knowledge here. So you are blessed. Use this blessing. Well, now when you are here, I would like to encourage you. and encourage you by the word of God. In this first Sabbath, when we are together and we are thinking about the future, what to do and how to do things, when I came to the seminary, I had dreams. I had the worries. I wanted to serve the Lord, but I didn't know what is ahead of me. Maybe you have the same questions. And I would like now to open the gospel according to the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Yes, as Old Testament professor, I need to open the New Testament, right? And I am glad that I can meditate with you on the life of Paul. But I actually don't want to speak about Paul. I want to speak about God, this God of the Old Testament, how this God of the Old Testament was leading Paul, and how he really became the apostle, and why he was so successful. So let's open this gospel according to the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you that for the first time, the name Saul appears in chapter 7. And you know that in chapter 7 you have this very sad story when the great apostle or evangelist or deacon, we call it only deacon, but it was a great instrument of God, Stephen, was stoned to death. And there you read in verse 58, "Meanwhile, the witness laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul." And then in chapter 8, verse 1, you read, "And Saul was there giving approval to his," Stephen's, "death." This was a very dramatic situation. Yeah, this is for the first time when Saul is mentioned. Well, you know that the name Saul means ask for. I am sure that parents were the ones who were praying to God, asking God for a child. And when the child was here, they called him Saul. Ask for fulfillment of the prayers. And now this fulfillment of prayers is zealous for God. He's working very hard. He loves the Lord. He's dedicated to the Lord. And he wants to do the best for the Lord. And this is why he is there. And he's leading the persecution. He's leading the execution of Stephen. And he's there. Well, actually, probably, this is not for the first time we meet with Paul in the book of Acts. You know that the book of Acts is primarily focused on the activities of the Holy Spirit and how God was using Paul. Paul is at the center there, how he's used by God. But before, in chapter 6, he's probably also mentioned, but silently. He's not there with the name. And let me read the story. "Now Stephen," and this is all about that great man here, "a man full of God's grace and power, did great wonders and miraculous signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the province of Cilicia and Asia. This man began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke." Well, we have this statement here that many men were there, but among these men were a man from province of Cilicia. Tarsus was born in what city? And Paul was born in what city? In Tarsus, yes. And you know now. And the main city in Cilicia, this was Tarsus. And most probably, because we later see him that he is leading the execution of Stephen, he was the one among them, among these men. in verse 9, these men began to argue with Stephen. And they could not stand up against his wisdom or the spirit by whom he spoke. Yes, he's this probably unknown person there, arguing, being more angry, even though he was so well educated in the best school of that time. He was the pupil of Gamaliel. And now, with all these arguments he knows, he's not able to persuade Stephen. Therefore, what is the best way? Well, this was the Asian way, as we heard this morning in the Sabbath school. Well, to get rid of the opponent. Only one truth is here. It is my truth. All others need to go away. Yes, he is there. When you open the book of Acts of the Apostles of Ellen G. White, you can read how eloquent and well-educated was Apostle Paul. In this chapter about his days of preparations, we read, Paul had formerly been known as a zealous defender of the Jewish religion and an untiring persecutor of the followers of Jesus. Courageous, independent, persevering, his talents and training would have enabled him to serve in almost any capacity. He could be the high priest in their ranks. He could reason with extraordinary clearness, and by his withering sarcasm could place an opponent in no enviable light. Yes, he was strong, but now he's meeting with Stephen and he's not able to do that. The eloquence, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the wisdom of God is speaking differently. He's not able with all his education to do this. So he goes the right way according to him, and he is the one who leads persecution of Stephen. And then in chapter 8, in verse 3, we read, but Saul, after this execution, did what? Began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Well, why he was doing it? You know, my Old Testament, New Testament colleagues can maybe differ with me, but I think that Paul was a very good student of the Torah, the Pentateuch. And what he was reading in the Pentateuch, he was reading in Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, that the one who is hanged on the tree is cursed by God. And what happened to Jesus? He was hanged on the tree, and he, therefore, must be cursed by God. It is very simple theology, very clear theology. Is theology built on the Torah, on the scriptures. This is why, when he put everything together with all his best education he had, when he studied the scriptures, he concluded, well, yes, this man disturbed me, and things which are happening disturb me, but it cannot be true, because the Torah, the word of God, says very plainly, cursed is the one who is hanging on the tree. So he continues, with the zeal for God, his work, persecution. And then we come to chapter 9. And in this gospel, according to Acts of the Holy Spirit, we read that Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul. And we heard all the story. We were reading the story. And yes, when he's going to Damascus in order to again to put the followers of Christ to prison and maybe even to death, when he's going, suddenly Jesus is there. And Jesus is calling him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am sure that this sentence was the greatest shock in life of Paul. At the time, Saul. And he is perplexed. He's completely out of his mind because he's actually not going to persecute Jesus, right? He's going to persecute the followers of Jesus, these Christians. He's persecuting them, and now Jesus is saying, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? You see how Jesus is associating with his followers? If somebody is fighting against your brothers and sisters, it's like fighting against Jesus himself. And Jesus is asking him, why are you persecuting me? And he's so perplexed that he's asking, who you are? Who are you? And Jesus repeats again, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And if it is so that Jesus is now speaking to him, it clicks right away in the mind of Paul. If this Jesus who was hanged on the cross, who was crucified, so then it is true that he was resurrected, and now he is meeting with Jesus, it means that all his learned theology, learned, you know, truth on the basis of the Torah, that all this must be now reinterpreted. He need to go now back to the Torah and learn it with the right intentions of the Torah, with the correct application, with the correct interpretation. And he is now completely down. And you know the story, how in the darkness now, because he cannot see, God is speaking to him. You know his conversion. And for him it was very quick, because if Jesus is alive, is he the one who is speaking to him? He cannot be the one who is cursed. How do I know that it was his thinking? Well, he is later on writing about that in Galatians, in that very beautiful gospel according to Galatians. In chapter 3, verse 13, he says, and let me read this text, that now he's saying, now I understand what really happened on the cross. And he's writing, well, Christ redeemed us. Yes, he saved us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. You see, this was his theology, and now it is completely reversed. He's now understanding that, yes, Jesus was under the curse, but it was his choice because he wanted to redeem us, to save us. He take what belongs to us upon himself in order that we can have eternal life. And then we read in verse 14, yes, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Dramatic conversion and very sudden conversion. It was not needed too much. Personal encounter with the cursed one, and everything was upside down. New directions of life. And then we read in the same chapter, in the Acts of the Holy Spirit, in chapter 9, in verse 20, that after, you know, all this dramatic conversion, immediately, at once, Paul started doing what? Immediately he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? They were all, you know, astonished. This was a big surprise of all surprises, that this zealous person for God, who was persecuting those who were followers of Jesus, he is now arguing that this Jesus is really the Son of God. Well, you know that Paul is doing it, but then the opposition came against him, and in verse 22 of the chapter 9 we read that Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. And then persecution comes. What Paul was doing. I don't know how long he stayed in Damascus after his conversion. But he was, as was he, zealous for Jews and the Judaism. Now he was so zealous for Jesus. And he started very well. Now opposition started against him. And what he did. If you open this gospel according to Galatians in chapter 1, and you read from verse 15 on, you actually learn what he did. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not consult any man, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went immediately into Arabia and later returned to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. Therefore, we now read that after this dramatic conversion in Damascus, he started to preach. Then opposition came, and he departed. Where he departed? To Arabia. For how long? For 3 years. I know that New Testament scholars, especially those who are experts in the Pauline writings, they are debating if these 3 years were fully 3 years in Arabia, or he was in Arabia for a lesser time and then he traveled a little bit and came to Damascus. But let me simplify it. 3 years. 3 years in Arabia. Where? In the desert. Did Paul now desert from his mission? Why 3 years there? God called him, dramatically called him, you will be the apostle, you will be my messenger, you will preach to the Gentiles. He started to preach, opposition came, and he is in Arabia. What a shock. Yes, and we can, debate for a long time why he was going there. Was he now, as a disappointed young man there, bitter? Was he coward? Was he the failure there? Why he went there? We don't have it really in the scriptures, but here in the Acts of the Apostles, we read that it was actually God who stopped him and said, you will go there. It was God who sent him to the desert for 3 years. What he was doing there? Well, if you go and put everything what we have in the scriptures together, you can quite guess very well that he was studying scriptures. Because he now needed to be 100% sure with all what he experienced that he's on the right track, that he's on the right direction. But we also can imagine that he needed some time of healing for himself. You know, he converted, he started to preach, but he was known as the persecutor of the church. He put people to prison. He put people to death. He put people to great suffering. And now he is really going in that desert through the real conversion in his life. And he's studying the scriptures in order to really prove that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Let me read from what we can detect from the many passages in scriptures in the New Testament, especially in the writing of Paul and in the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Let me read how Ellen G. White is summarizing his stay there. And she's writing in this Acts of Apostles on page 125. Here, in the solitude of the desert, Paul had ample opportunity for quiet study and meditation. He calmly reviewed his past experience and made sure work of repentance. And then we can read later on, as he pondered these things in his heart, Paul understood more and more clearly the meaning of his call to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. The greatness of the work before him led him to give much study to the Holy Scriptures in order that he might preach the gospel. Let me read once again this sentence. The greatness of the work before him led him to what? To be very busy right away, correct? And this is what we expect. We see the great task before us, so we need to go and preach. Paul, how you dare to go to the desert for 3 years and not to fulfill the task God gave you? You have to be there, preach from one city to another, preach the gospel. And instead of that, you go to the desert and you study. Did you not study already before? Why you need another studies? 3 years, more studies? Why? And he is there. And now we read, the greatness of the work before him led him to give much study of the Holy Scriptures in order that he might preach the gospel. As Paul searched the scriptures, he learned. You see, there is no way that we can say after our studies, maybe long studies, as he had studied with Gamaliel, now I know. Even after 3 years, he could say, well, what I know is that I don't know. But this little I know, this is what I will preach. And he decided to preach nothing else than the Christ and the Christ crucified, the Christ resurrected, the Christ who will come again. This is why he needed these 3 years. Diligent study of the Word of God. Well, here you are now. Maybe in these 3 years which are ahead of you, for some maybe more even, if you are in the doctoral studies, maybe this is your Arabia. Maybe this is your desert. You know, desert is a place of death, right? It's a place of dangers, many dangers. You cannot have fancy meals in the desert. You cannot have big celebrations in the desert, nice clothes in the desert. You cannot have fancy cars, latest models of the cars, nothing like that. Please don't expect to have this during these 3 years of your Arabia. But as God called Paul to diligently search the scriptures, this is why God called you to your Arabia. You are here in order to study and diligently study the Word of God. Please, don't be a minimalist. I encounter more and more students, even though are coming here, that they only want to go through the minimum requirements, minimum things, and go away and then to preach. God is calling you to the highest call. You need to have the highest level of what you want to attend. Everything you will do here, please do it in meditation. Do it diligently, like you are studying the scriptures. This is not only your duty. This is your worship time here. God is calling you that you will meditate on the Word of God day and night. This is what we have in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man or woman who meditates on the Word of God day and night. You know, you will have plenty of opportunities to meditate on the Greek words and Hebrew words. And turn these Greek words and Hebrew words into your prayer, into your meditation. Whatever task you will have, turn it into devotional. Don't think that one thing is your study here and another is your work later on. No, your time here as students of the scriptures, as the seminary students, is so important as your work later in the field. It is equally important. There is no like, here is less time important and there will be more time. If you will work, maybe one of you as a general conference president, your time spent like general conference president or other presidents or in other calls is equally important as your time here spent in the seminary in preparation for this greater task God has for you. And I would like that you will not distract yourself. You know, desert is very good because you should not think about the world outside. Forget the world outside for these 3 years. For these years, God is calling you. Concentrate well. There will be never time like this in your life. Guaranteed. Never that you will have 3 years together when you can reflect on this great plan of salvation, on the excellent, magnificent picture of God. There will be never time like that that you can allow the Holy Spirit and your professors under the guidance of the scriptures to help you to frame your mind, that you will see things which you did not see before. This is your time. This is your opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't distract yourself with anything. Satan is very good in distracting us today. You know that the worst temptations today are sensual, carnal, very carnal temptations. Don't distract yourself with pornography. Don't distract yourself with impure thoughts, with dating this or that, which is not according to God's will. Don't do that. Concentrate well. Don't allow even Satan to distract you with useful, good things. There are many good things. Put it aside. This is your desert time. This is your time to allow God to be God in your life. Allow Him to change you, to transform you. As we heard last evening, when we were in cafeteria, this is the main point why we are here, to be transformed by the Word of God, to the image of God, that we can be used by God for salvation of others. This is the only way. Let God be the Lord of your time here when you will be studying. Yes, Paul did very well, because you know that after 3 years he went back and he was preaching. And if I go to many, you know, epistles, what he was writing, he was always emphasizing, now I know whom I believe. And he was saying, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. This was Galatians 6:14. Or in 1 Corinthians 15:10, he's saying, by the grace of God, I am who I am. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, he says, for the message of the cross, and this is what he learned, this message of the cross is foolishness. And let me assure you, this is foolishness still today. But this message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, this is the power of God. In Romans 1:16, he says, yes, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. And in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he says to Corinthians, yes, while I was with you, I decided something. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. No wonder that people like Paul changed the world upside down, because they were totally to the disposition of God. They let God to be God in their life. And God could use them and as their instruments to bring this big change in the world. And this is our task today. Yes, this is our mission today, to be light to the world. But before, maybe you will be light to the world somewhere there. God is calling you to this great walk with him, that we will spend time with him, that we will walk with God, as we were hearing that first song before my sermon. I will walk with God. And we need to walk daily with God. And we need to walk very diligently with God and very humbly with God. And only when we will walk with him and when we will study the scriptures, so new horizons will be opened and God could use even you and me in a new, powerful way. Do you believe so? You know, your time here is time to study the scriptures. Don't study something else. Study the scriptures. Study the scripture under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And as I said, all this great faculty here and all these resources are here that the Holy Spirit can use it for you, for your benefit. You know, all my colleagues from all the 7 departments are dedicated. They want that the Spirit is filling them also. And they are here in order to be Spirit-filled professors, in order to help you to be also Spirit-filled. And that by the Spirit of God, the Word of God will be even better understood by you. Paul knew the scriptures before, but still he needed new conversion. And this is our task. Treasure the scriptures. In my country, people were dying because of this book. When was the great Counter-Reformation after the battle on the White Mountain in 1620, many people were executed because they were believing in the truth of the Bible. I can tell you plenty of stories, but in the conclusion, only one very short. You know, people treasured so much the Bible that they kept this Bible in the hidden places. And even when the inquisitors came and they wanted to put them in prison and confiscate the Bibles and burn this Bible completely, they were willing to give their life for the scriptures. We have freedom today. You know, in one story, well, was that inquisitors were coming. It was evening, and the family was gathered. They were praying. They were studying the scriptures. What to do? They are here. But the mother of the family, she just was finishing the dough. And what she was doing, they were putting this Bible into the dough and then right into the oven. And when they were coming and searching, they could not find this treasure. It was in the oven. This is your treasure. Treasure it. Study it. That at the end, you can say exactly as Paul is saying, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What I am, it is only by the grace of God. And I am not ashamed of the gospel, because this is the power of God for salvation of many. May God bless you, that your stay in your Arabia, in your desert, your stay here at Andrews University, at Theological Seminary, be the most profitable time when you unlearn and you learn how to serve Him wholeheartedly. Amen.